Well, next to South Korea and the ongoing rescue and recovery operation following the sinking of the ferry on Wednesday. Journalist John Power is on the line. John, first of all, just tell us if you can the latest figures on the numbers dead, confirmed dead, those rescued and those still missing.
Absolutely. The latest is that the official death toll is 28, half of them being students from the high school in Ansan, a city outside of Seoul, while the number of those unaccounted comes to 268. Of course, the real fear now, and it seems inevitable at this point, is that the death toll will rise and rise very drastically. The hope has been up until now that there could possibly be air pockets inside the ship that could sustain life. But at this point, we are some 60 hours past the initial accident. And obviously, any realistic hopes that anyone will be found alive are rapidly diminishing.
Has the ferry now become fully submerged?
Yes, that's right. In a real blow for the families today, the ship at about 12 noon in the afternoon finally sank completely beneath the waves. Up until now, since Wednesday morning, the keel of the ship had emerged from the sea, and there was hopes that indicated that there was possibly areas of the ship that had breathable air. Since 12, it has submerged, and since then, the rescue team have been trying to pump air into the ship, both to keep it afloat and also to provide a lifeline to anyone who may still be inside. Also, in a very tragic blow, really, to everyone involved, the deputy principal of the school involved was found dead in the last few hours, and according to police, that is a suspected suicide. So this is really a tragedy compounded upon an already very dire situation.
Now, as the investigation continues, I gather, first of all, we heard this morning that it was a junior officer, not the captain, who was at the helm when it capsized. But we gather that they're also looking to arrest and question a number of other people involved.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, the prosecutors have actually applied for arrest warrants for the captain and two other crew members, one of whom is the man who was allegedly steering the ship at the time. He was reported to be in his 20s and relatively inexperienced at the job. The captain himself has faced a lot of scrutiny here, a lot of anger heaped upon him from the public and the media, particularly because of his actions, his alleged actions after the accident first occurred. He is reported to have left the ship before the passengers, which is, in fact, an offence under maritime law. And also, it is reported that someone on the ship, using the official intercom system, told people to remain put for somewhere between 30 minutes to an hour. And this is basically being blamed for maybe robbing them of their only chance to get out. So the captain and two others are currently possibly looking at criminal charges at this point.
So obviously that's part of the investigation, to find out why the evacuation process was botched to such a degree. The other question obviously is what went wrong in the first place. Did it hit something? How did it hit something in a busy shipping lane?
Yes, the most honest answer I can give you is that we really don't know for sure. There's been a lot of speculation, a lot of theories, including misinformation and sort of half-confirmed stories. One theory that the Coast Guard has seemingly lent some credence to, and they've repeated over the last 24 hours, is possibly that the ship turned very severely, causing luggage inside to come unstable, causing the ship to list, capsize, and eventually sink. That seems to be the theory that is being investigated primarily at the moment. But as I said, I think it's important to stress that they don't know for sure.
Right.
And obviously, I think the search recovery operation is taking precedence at the moment.
Sure. John, thanks for that. Journalist John Power on the line there from South Korea. Now it's time for news of sport. Here's Parig Lodge.
Thanks, Richard. A maximum field of 30 runners will go to post in the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National at Ferry House on Monday. Barry Geraghty has been booked by John Joe O'Neill to ride the well-fancied Shut the Front Door. He's one of six runners in the race for owner JP McManus, who also saddles the top weight Cantlow. Arthur Moore's home farm has been well supported in recent days. He'll be ridden by David Casey. Well, trainer Gordon Elliott runs Cause of Causes, and Elliott is optimistic that his horse will be in the shake-up on Monday.
He's been knocking on the door in a lot of big handicaps this year. I don't think he's been genuine. Just come up against, he's been lucky into Paddy Power probably, and then lucky into Kim Muir. But listen, it's a big step up to 3 mile 5. But we're hoping the ground keeps drying out. It'll suit him. We'll drop in and fall away. I think he'll stay, please God. Listen, he's got a good solid each way chance again. With a bit of luck, he won't be too far away.
4 horses have been declared for Sunday's Powers Gold Cup. The Willie Mullins trained pair of Bally Casey and Mazel Tov are joined by Mick Winter's Rebel Fitz and Bright New Dawn trained by Desi Hughes. The Munster team to play Connacht in the Pro 12 in Galway tomorrow shows 9 changes from their last game. Among the players to come in are Paul O'Connell, Dave Kilcoyne, Damien Varley, Dennis Hurley and Johnny Murphy. BJ Botha is included on the list of replacements. The Munster management say that JJ Hanrahan suffered what they describe as a moderate groin tear and he's undergoing rehab. There are 7 changes to the Connacht team, with Willie Falloon named at open side flanker after recovering from a hamstring injury, and Mian Acora starting at out half. The GAA is understood to be considering reducing the international rules series to a single game. An Irish team is due to travel to Australia this year, and a date in November is being put forward as the most likely slot. In Donegal, all tomorrow's club league matches have been called off. Donegal manager Jim McGuinness requested that the games proceed without county players, but it's now been agreed to postpone the matches to a later date. And Lee Westwood continues to lead the Malaysian Open Golf in Kuala Lumpur. He carded a second round of 6 under par 66 to move to 13 under for the tournament, and he's 4 strokes clear. Michael Hoey fired a 1 over 73, leaving the Belfast man tied for 13th place on 4 under.
Thank you, Pádraig Lodge. The main news again. Progress is reported to be slow in the search for hundreds of students still unaccounted for following the ferry sinking off the South Korean coast 2 days ago. The authorities have issued an arrest warrant for the captain of the ferry, which sank on Wednesday. Some pro-Russian separatists in the Ukraine have said they will not abide by an international agreement struck in Geneva yesterday aimed at easing tensions in the country. Under the deal agreed by representatives from the US, the EU, Russia and Ukraine, illegal armed groups were to have vacated local administrative buildings. At least 12 climbers have died in an avalanche on Mount Everest. 3 other people are also feared to have died. All victims were Nepalese Sherpas. Here, a Gartha was injured during a high-speed chase on the Mallow Road in Cork this morning. His motorbike was rammed by a stolen van, which was being pursued following a burglary in Glanmire. The officer's injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. The stolen van was later intercepted by Gardaí and 2 men were arrested. And a 4-year-old boy has died following a collision involving 2 cars near Port Arlington in County Laois last night. The boy's mother was seriously injured. That's it for today. We're back on Monday at 1 o'clock. Until then, from editor Vincent Murphy, from me, Richard Crowley, and everybody on the programme, good afternoon.